The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Know Your Bible program. This program is brought to you each week by the David J. Lewis Evangelistic Association in conjunction with the Churches of Christ. Your speaker is David J. Lewis, the evangelist of the association.
I know the Lord will find a way for me. I know the Lord will find a way.
Said, go and preach the word to all the world. The Lord said, go and preach the word to all the world. If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will find a way.
Won't it be grand to hear him say, well done? Won't it be grand to hear him say, well done? If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, won't it be grand to hear him say,
good evening. This is John David Berlin for the Church of Christ welcoming you to the Know Your Bible program. We thank you for tuning our program in this week. The Churches of Christ in Morenci, Eloy, the Tonto Congregation in Phoenix, and the Church of Christ in Coquille, Oregon, take pleasure in bringing you another message from God's Holy Word. And now here is my grandpa, David J. Lewis.
Thank you, John David. Your grandmother and I are very proud of him. My friends, as lovers of God's Word, I know that you have your Bibles at hand. This evening, we're going to be taking a look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm going to start reading with verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus Christ is our great high priest. Now, if you understand the Old Testament stories, you'll find when the children of Israel got the law, part of it was setting up a priesthood. And that priesthood led to the things that Jesus would have us to do in the New Testament. But under the priesthood, you had to have certain qualifications to be a priest. And unfortunately, to be high priest, none of us today match those qualifications, but Jesus did. And he did in such a way that he is far greater and superior than those other high priests of the long ago. Jesus is great high priest. He's great in mediation to begin with. Paul wrote that there's only one mediator between God and man. Now, if you'll go back and study the scriptures, you'll see that man used to have a great fellowship with God. He used to walk with him in the garden and talk with him and be a companion of his until he decided to put his wife in the place of God and listen to her instead of God. Then there's a great gulf. And instead of having a paradisical world today, we've got a world full of thorns and stickers and the foliage against people that are thorns and stickers in real life. Crime is totally out of control. Disease and death is rampant throughout our line. It's just been recent, a year or so ago, that we started with the great COVID epidemic. And when you start looking at all this stuff, you'll see that we don't have that paradisical world. And you know why? Because man was separated from God in Genesis 3, and man did not have the ability and the lifestyle and the qualifications to be able to mediate between God and the rest of the world. Even when Moses brought the law down from Sinai, remember the first time he came down? He broke all 10 of them. He saw what the children of Israel were doing, just freshly saved from the bondage of Egypt. And they were corrupting themselves, doing things they shouldn't have been doing. And because of it, the gulf with God was still broken. And even though God tried to work with him, book of Jeremiah says he was like a husband to him there in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 32. He was like a husband to him, but they kept whoring after other gods. And matter of fact, constantly in the prophets, the children of God are called whoremongers, adulterers, idolaters, because they kept going after other gods. But because of it, the priest, when he offered sacrifices to God, he had to first do something. Listen to this. Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 27. What are we told? That under the old law, the high priest, every time he went in there, had to offer for his own sins first. And that had to be done to get his sins taken care of before he could even presume to offer for the people's. But Christ did not have to. Jesus had no sin. Matter of fact, we're told in our text, aren't we, that Christ, who was tempted in every way such as we are, yet without sin. A lot of times we look at the sin story there in Luke chapter 4 and Matthew in chapter 4, and we seem to have the idea that Christ was only tempted with three things. No, we're told he was tempted in all ways such as we are, that he wasn't just tempted in one way and then another way, you know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He was tempted in all ways. It took 40 days of temptations, but he was tempted in every way that man was. But you know what? He was without sin. He never failed. Why? Because he was a man that understood what it was to be like God. That's why even when he was being brutalized, ridiculed, humiliated, tortured, and all those mockery trials and kangaroo courts on the night that he died, he could answer not a word. He didn't have to worry about what the people thought. He knew what his Father thought. Remember there in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he say? Father, not my will, but thine be done. He says in another place, I came to do my Father's will. Another place he says, my Father works today and I work. What is he telling us? He's telling us we got to make ourselves one with God. Whatever God wants, That's what we're going to do. Whatever God says, that's what we're going to listen to. And we don't have to fall to sin. We find written by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, he says, there's no temptation taken us that is not common to men, but God is faithful. He'll never let any of us be tempted more than we can bear. But with every temptation has provided a way of escape, so we need not fall. So what are we learning? We're learning that Jesus Christ could recognize what that way of escape is. Therefore, when we're told that there's one mediator between God and man, himself man, Christ Jesus, we're dealing with somebody that can mediate because he knows both sides and he knows which one to follow. He's great in sympathy. If you look at our text, we find that he can be touched with our feelings. He knows how we're feeling. Why do you think he's able to look on the people so often with such compassion? He could feel it. Some years ago, we had a man running for president of the United States. You might remember him. His name was William Jefferson Clinton. But everywhere he went, he'd look at the crowds and say, "I feel your pain." I don't know what he felt. But I do know that we're told Jesus Christ felt our pain. That's why you could look on the woman in John 8 that was taken in adultery in the very act. And he says, "Neither do I condemn you." When the woman touched his garment to be healed, he said, "Virtue went out of me." When the young man came to him and said, "Lord, what must I do to be saved?" The scriptures say Jesus looked on him and fell in love with him. This is our high priest. This is the one that understands the danger of professionalism. Many times, people did just like Pilate did. Try to wash their hands of things. Maybe it's because they feared for their job. We are told that Pilate feared when the people started hollering, "If you're his friend, you're no friend of Caesar's." A lot of what Pilate decided was because he didn't want to cross Caesar. He didn't want to lose his job and possibly others. How often do we do some dumb things because that's the only way to keep our jobs? I've known many people that traded their Christianity for their livelihood. And you know something? They lost. Oh, they might have kept their job. They might have gone on to retirement, maybe a very nice one. But that's all staying here, folks. It's going to burn up with the rest of the world. And they're going to go naked to meet Christ. Professionalism not going to do it. I've heard people say, "Well, I can't do that. I'll lose my job." I've had preachers tell me in the past that if they preached the way I did, they wouldn't be able to hang on to the job at their congregation. Well, maybe it was time for him to move on. He understands that when we pray, if we pray in cold blood, we're no longer the servants of the cross. Prayer is not supposed to be a memorized ritual thing. It's not supposed to be a bunch of words without meaning. Oh, there's nothing wrong with praying the same thing. Jesus prayed the same thing 3 times in the Garden of Gethsemane. Paul in 2 Corinthians tells us he prayed 3 times the same prayer to get the thorn in the flesh removed. So what is vain repetitions? Christ condemns them in Matthew chapter 6. But what is vain repetition? Vain repetition is repeating something often, so often, that it's lost its meaning to you and probably to those hearing you pray it. Vain repetition means what you're saying has no value. Now, you might still have the same words that you had in a prayer years ago, but does it have the same meaning? Do you even recall what the meaning is? I would hear people when I was a kid pray, "Now be with us as we go to our humble places of abode, Lord." And as a young man, I had no idea what they were talking about. How am I supposed to say amen to that? And I've wondered, looking at it today, we don't use that term anymore. At least I haven't heard it in a while. But how many men you just say amen to that and they could not explain what it meant either? Professionalism destroys us. We need to keep that commitment, that sympathy with Christ. It's not enough to just know what happened on Golgotha. It's not enough to just study what happened through his kangaroo court trials. We need to feel the pain. When Bill Clinton used to say, "I feel your pain," what do we feel when we take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week? Or is it just a ritual thing to hurry up and get through? I've sat in the congregations long enough to whoever was heading on the table, I knew before services started exactly what they were going to say. And I was never disappointed. They said exactly what I planned. Is there any meaning to that? Oh, they can say the same thing as long as it still has meaning. Many times I think we're so professionalized that even our worship services, from the song leader to the preacher, the people leading the prayers, to the elders, that we're all going through motions. And we're doing things just because it's time to do them. We have a set program in our worship services, but I wonder how many people would be confused and get nothing out of the service if we threw an extra song in. Or maybe instead of having our intercessory prayer and the scripture reading together, if we had the scripture reading up in the front of the service and the intercessory prayer in the middle, what would happen? People might lose their concept of what's going on. We can't be professionalized. Our prayers that we frequently shed with no mercy, keep in mind, Jesus can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Jesus actually can react because he feels what I feel. He's the one that said that I'm with you until the end of the world, there in Matthew 28 and verse 20. He's the one in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 tells us very plainly that I will never leave you nor forsake thee. He's the one that tells us all the way back in Psalm 23 and verse 4 that, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, he's with me. His rod, his staff is what's going to comfort me. So let's watch the professionalism. Let's get back to the reality of spiritualism, of spiritually following Christ, of spiritually understanding what it is that he's doing, because he can feel with us. We need to feel with him. There's three practical things that we need to understand with our prayer. The first one is, let us fear lest anyone come short. You'll find that in verse 1 of chapter 4 of Hebrews, when he says, let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. We don't want to come short. We want to hear those words, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. So we need to fear God. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, not to fear a man that might hurt you in body, but he tells us to fear him who could cast body and soul into hell. We need to fear so that we will keep actively walking, keep actively growing in Christ, so that we need not come short. When it comes time for the great homecoming, we want to be in that number, don't we? Wasn't it Louis Armstrong that used to sing, "Oh Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in"? And yes, I would like to be in that number too. But to do that, I have to fear God so that I can respectfully do everything he says to do. Not argue over whether or not I should be baptized, but just look at it. He tells us to be baptized. So let's get baptized. Someone wanted to ask, well, what's in that water? I don't know. I just know God said to get in it. I can't tell you what's in it. It doesn't matter, does it? Didn't matter to Naaman the leper. He said he has a banner and far, far there back in Syria where he came from. Why does he have to dip seven times in that muddy, terrible, maybe foul-smelling River of Jordan? But you know, until he dipped himself seven times, he kept his leprosy. Well, we got to learn to obey so that we can do what God says. It's God that said, visit the sick. It's God that said, repent of our sins. It's God that said to minister to those in prison. It's God who says that we need to confess the blessed name of Jesus Christ before men. It's God that says we have to believe in both him and in his son. We will not get that salvation rest unless we do those things. We need to also, according to verse 11, we read, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. We need to give diligence. We need to actually work so that we can enter into that rest. Many people want to say you can get there with no works. Is that what we just read? No, it's not. He says, let us labor, therefore. We need to diligently be laboring for Christ to make sure that the walls of the kingdom can be spread and that when Jesus comes, he'll call our name. We sang a song in our worship recently that gets right to that heart of that matter. It says, when the Savior calls, I'll be answered. Why? Because I'll be somewhere listening for my name. We need to hear that clarion call, but we're not going to hear it unless we are diligently laboring to enter in. In verse 14, we read, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. We need to hold fast to what we confess to. Some years ago, I originally confessed publicly that I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We need to continue to do that. But there are a lot of people, contrary to what Calvinism teaches, that can lose their souls because they walk away from that confession. They walk away from the church for whatever reason. Maybe they're mad at the preacher. Maybe they're just tired of the commitment. But when they walk away, they lose everything. If we want to enter into that rest that is promised, we have to realize that we need to hang on to that confession of Jesus Christ. We need to live like we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, not just say it. And then finally in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Let us draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace. We can go to God at any time, day or night, with whatever is on our mind because we're hanging on to that relationship with his dear son. And remember, the apostle Jesus loved wrote these words, if we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with God, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us of all unrighteousness. You'll find that in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. So what do we need to do? We need to continually hold on to that confession of Christ so we can come to God boldly. Not have to wait. You're never going to call God if you're a faithful child of his and be put on hold. I tried to make a couple phone calls this week and both of them came back. If you want it in English, press 1. I've never understood why a man like me who fought and risked my life for the glory of this country has to dial 1 to speak English. Why don't they say if you want in some other language, you dial 1? Why is it we in the United States are the ones required to dial 1 to get our national language? I'll never understand people. But praise the Lord, I can boldly go to God and he's never going to put me on hold, and he's never going to say, dial one. This is David Lewis for the Church of Christ inviting you to visit us this week. In Phoenix, we're located at 1101 West Tonto Street. This is on the corner of 11th Avenue and Buckeye and less than 5 minutes from the freeway. Our day begins at 9:15 a.m. with Bible classes for all ages. This is followed at 10:30 a.m. by a period in which we sing and pray to the glory of God. At 6 o'clock p.m., we gather for another period of worship to God. There are Churches of Christ in your area that are in partnership with this program. For those in the Marinci area, stop by and worship with the Marinci Church of Christ. If you live in the Eloy area, I recommend the Eloy Church of Christ. If you're in Cocoa, Oregon, visit the Church of Christ where you are a stranger only once. If you have a Bible question, or I may be of some service to you, please do not hesitate to call upon me at 480-209-6154. I'm at your beck and call anytime, day or night. If you would prefer, you may write to me at 2114 West Apache Trail, Suite 1, number 145 in Apache Junction, Arizona. Our zip code is 85120. If you would like a compact disc of this program or a CD of any other Bible subject, let your request be known, and I'll send you one at absolutely no cost to you. On October the 8th through the 12th, the Churches of Christ are conducting our annual Arizona lectureship here in Phoenix. We have one theme for the entire week, with over 50 speakers each discussing a different aspect of that theme. All are invited and are welcome to attend. It's an enjoyable time of edification. Until we meet again at this same time next week, this is David Lewis saying that it is my sincerest wish that the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.